has got some things about him. What is the rational sinner's sin? That's right. He rationalizes God right out of his life. There's two major verses there that you should learn. In verse 18, he holds back the truth of God. He suppresses the truth. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this rational sinner suppresses the truth that God is. If you'll see verse 28, he will not retain the knowledge of God. How many remember that? Yeah. Now, God has sent this man two preachers, and they both start with C. You're right, D. The first preacher that God sends this person, and sends it to every person, you're born with it, is a God conscience that God is. Remember Hebrews, he that cometh to God. And the Bible says, only the fool in his heart said there is no God. Right. You know, and so this man's a fool, no doubt, because he says he suppresses the truth of God that God is. He suppresses that God conscience that God tries to keep bringing up to him, but no. He puts out that dome light of the soul, as we call it. That if that light that's in you be darkened, Matthew 6:23, how great is the darkness. John 1:9 says he was a light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. And that light is that God conscience that God is. And then so the first preacher that he suppresses and rejects from God is the God conscience. Then what's the second one that the second preacher? Creation, right. The heavens declare the glory of God. Anyone that looks up in the sky and sees all those stars and says, this just happened by accident. I mean, you look out and see the oceans and the birds flying and the mountains and everything, and you say, man, this just happened by chance. You're an idiot. That's the best I can say for you. You're a moron. Because the Bible says in Scripture and Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You got it, Mark? Psalms 19:1. Go ahead and. Yeah, you can see it. You see that beautiful sunset. You just see all the creation around you. This can't happen by accident. Why doesn't the moon run into the earth? Why don't we just start? What makes us stay in complete orbit? Why don't we go off the axis? You know, why is the human being made up so tremendous the way we're made up? Where our heart beats billions of times in a lifetime. I mean, boy, you get me a watchmaker who can make my heart tick like that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good creator. I mean, someone can make this old ticker tick for all those times. Just to say that happened by a big explosion, you got to be an idiot. Amen? And that's why the Bible says only a fool in his heart says there's no God. And so the Bible says there, and if you look at Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, after all that God's done through the God conscience and the creation, this man is without excuse. This man, I showed you Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And it's appeared in two ways, a God conscience and a creation. So those are the two preachers that God has reached out. It doesn't say the gospel. It says the grace. If they don't deny those two preachers, God will give them more. How many remember the teaching? Because we're going to leave this, and this is the last time I'll be teaching to you, so I hope you get it in your heart. So you can teach others also, you see. And so this person, he denies or she denies those great preachers that God put within. Because it says that which may be known of God in the scripture there is manifested in him. Was that verse 19? It says it's manifested in him. So for God had showed it to him. So I mean, it's in him. It's in the inside. It's on the outside. It's all around them. They're without excuse. They're without excuse. Well, I didn't have a chance. No, you had a chance. Well, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. No. Shut your mouth, Romans 3:19. The whole world guilty. Every mouth stopped and the whole world guilty before God. And so then let's move on now. And so because of this, turning down these preachers of God, the creation and the God conscience, then God put 6 judgments on this rational sinner. And 3 are natural judgments, and 3 are judgments from God. And so let's pick up in verse 21. I know we've already done this. So the first one we see, the first judgment, because they rejected the 2 preachers, these people become vain. How many still got your paper? All this is on your paper, by the way. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but notice, they became. Billy, they became this. They weren't this way. Like these people say, well, I was born a queer. No, you weren't. No, you weren't born that way. You became that way. Because they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Talking about that light. Put out that light. How many are still with me? And so, number one, they become vain. Verse 22, they become a fool. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? That's a perfect, in most cases, you go to college, these people teach on evolution, say how there's no God and how you came from a monkey and how, you know, our descendants are from apes, and they think they're smart and they're an idiot. They're actually idiots. And what's happening that scares me, you know, I was talking to Mike Freimeyer the other day. It's been a few weeks now. Boy, I would to God we could start some kind of ministry with Kent State University. Boy, those are the kids we need to reach. Boy, Mike said, preach, you'd have to have a building. You'd have to have a building to reach them, just like the soldiers are, how they have a thing for the soldiers to come to. He said, you'd actually almost need a building where the kids could come to and, you know, play ping pong and stuff like that. Pray about that. Maybe someday God would work that out. I can't take it out, but that's really down in my heart. And boy, I sure wish we had an outreach for those college kids, because I'm going to tell you something. Those are the kids that are really getting this vain, evil teaching. And you wonder, what's wrong with this generation? They're being taught. And they just say, well, I guess they're right. See, what happens is this. That's why it's so bad to send your kids to a secular college. Because even if they're in fundamental churches and Christian schools, when they go to a secular college, they're taught everything against God. And they worship good Christian kids. Oh, they can't lose their salvation. Yeah, Mark.
Can I give a statistic?
Yeah. Yes, that's how powerful.
75%.
Yes, 70. I've got those figures. I've heard that. It's unbelievable. Even kids that have had some background, within a year or two, they got them. Of course, they can never be unsaved, but they mess them up for their Christian walk. Yes, ma'am. Yes. See, it doesn't surprise me, Kelly. This is where, and you wonder, what's happening with our kids? They're being taught by people that become fools with dark imaginations. Right. Professors, and not all of them, but in most cases, you've got people that are vain and darkened hearts who have resisted that light in the creation. And so you wonder, how can kids become this? See, they became. How many see that? because they kept saying no to God, no to God, no to God, no to God's creation, no to God's conscience, no to God's creation. You keep saying no, go ahead. You just keep saying no. Eventually, one day, the door is going to shut. The light's going to go out. And you're going to be out in the wilderness saying, wow, how did I get this way? And Daniel, that king, that king went out there and was in the, Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't have this plan, but he went out and got with the animals, became like one of them. You say, how could that happen? But it says he came back to his senses and acknowledged God. But it says he got in his right mind. So they became vain, they became fools, then they became idolaters. And so, and they changed the glory of God. And image made in corrupt in the 4 foot. They make totem poles, all kinds of statues, and so they become idolaters. So that was the first three judgments. We've covered that, and then the next three judgments. There's six total. The first three are natural, and you can look up here for 1 minute. You can see the digression. You can see the digression. How they keep going down, 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 and. Farther away from God, farther away from God, darker. They keep getting farther from the sun. Less light, less warmth. How many are with me? Void of light, more darkness. You wonder, how could they think and teach that? They're void of understanding. They've given themselves over to the foolishness and to evil. And then notice in verse 5 and 24, God gave up their bodies. God gave them out. See verse 24? God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts and dishonor their own bodies. And who changed the truth of God, verse 25, into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And so then God gave up their bodies. You see a lot of those people, even not just all, but you say, boy, those people, they come and they sit down and they smell real bad. And they don't care about what they wear, and they don't care what they look like, and they don't have no thought for cleanliness. How does people get that way? Their mind away from God. Are you with me? What are you looking at? Huh? You think you're better than me? No. I know what's happened to you, Mr. or Mrs. You said no to God, and now you became what God said you were going to become. You can see this. When you see that, you say, oh, man. When you see people like that, you say, wow, these are Romans chapter 1 people, man. These are rational sinners. Wow, God even told us about them. Man, wow. That guy's a, man, oh, man, is he a number one rational sinner? You got to feel sorry for them, but you can ask. Once you get this teaching, you're going to walk, you'll say, rational reform, religious. You're going to go, you'll walk away and say, oh, man, I know where that guy's at. And so, and then look at, so God gave up their body. They gave up, then he gave up their soul. In verse 20, gave them up unto vile affections. That's evil. Vile is, when you get the vile, that's really bad. For even the woman did change the nature under which Kelly was even talking about, they're teaching them how to be gay, you know. But did you notice every time it says they became, when they became a fool, they became vain, they became an adulterer, adulterer, they became. And so, and then verse, then they God gave up, because they became those things, God gave up their bodies to uncleanness, and he gave up their soul to vile affections. Being a queer is not another lifestyle. It's evil. And they're not queers, they're sodomites. That's what the Bible calls them. King Asa rid the land of the sodomites. Too bad we can't go back to that again. Oh, boy, they'd like that, wouldn't they? Like to, boy, that preacher's a radical down there. But I care about their soul, but I hate their sin. And by the way, their sin destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God looked down and said, the Bible says in Genesis 13:13 that God looked at the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and said their sin was exceedingly wicked. Exceedingly wicked. God, I'm going to tell you right now, God does not like the sin of homosexuality. And I never saw two horses together, two male horses.
Never. Hello. You ever notice that? Never saw two male cats together. Never saw two female cats together. No, but the humans, we're worse. Even animals know that it's wrong. But the man is so wicked. The Bible says we're deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Who can know him? And we're so wicked, we do wickedness beyond imagination. And so God said that those people, that men with men, women with women, is vile. Look at verse 27. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Folks, this is the Bible. It's not preacher. It's the Bible. God said, this is wicked. Listen, it was wicked 6,000 years ago. It's still wicked today. God even judged Noah was looked on. In Noah's nakedness back in the book of Genesis around chapter 9 or 8, somewhere in there, was looked on. I didn't plan on teaching this. But either Ham or one, they looked on him and were think that he looked on his father's nakedness. And when the two other boys came back, they walked backwards and covered him up. Didn't look on the nakedness of their father. It's vile. Hello. And so, and by the way, God put a curse on Ham because of that. I'm trying to get to the, and then, so he gave up their soul to vile affections, and then he gave up their spirit. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Whew, that's really bad. Now let me show you something here. Now look at what it says about these rational sinners. Being filled, these rational sinners, they're being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, number two, number three, wickedness, number four, covetousness, number five, maliciousness, number six, full of envy, number seven, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, and number 13, haters of God. And Ruthie, I can't believe that's by accident. It's listed to 13. 13 in the Bible is a bad number. Haters of God. When they say they got their own church coolage, well, we're saved. We believe. The Bible says that these rational sinners are haters of God. Don't tell me you've been washed in the blood. Don't tell me you've been born again. I'm going to take what the Bible says. They're haters of God. They hate God's word. That's why they try to stamp it out. That's why they hate us. The world doesn't like fundamentalism. We expose sin. The Bible does. We don't. We just believe the Bible. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. You say, wow, disobedient to parents. Watch out for a kid that's always disobedient. They're heading away from far from God. That's darkness. You get a lot of disobedient kids to parents, that tells me that they're letting the darkness get into their life. That's because it's a trait of the rational sinner. And the reason they do it is because they've said no to God. I told Rosie something today. One of the kids mentioned how does a Christian get close to God? And I said, Rosie, I said, nobody can get close to God until they say no to sin. How many want to get close to God? Then you got to start saying no to sin. Because here's what happens. When I say yes to sin, I get away. By the way, did you ever notice when we say yes to sin, it gets a little easier next time. Start missing church. You miss church, it's hard the first time, but after next, not so bad. The next thing you know, they're missing Wednesday, Mark. They start missing Wednesdays, then they start missing Sunday school. Hello? Then they start not Sunday night, and next thing you know, they're gone. See, when we can say yes to sin and no to God, trust me, it darkens that spiritual light. I'm not saying you could be lost. I'm not saying that. You can't lose your salvation. I'm talking about your walk with God. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, these people here are lost. But I can still use the same principle with darkness and light. If you want a closer walk with God, walk closer to the light. Hello? As he is holy, which calleth you, be ye holy. So the closer I can walk to God, the holier I got to be. Hello? Most of us are holy mackerel. Or holy cow. But we're not holy with God. It won't hurt me to watch that little TV show that shows that nudity. I can sit here and listen to him cuss. See, and what that does, you say, boy, preacher, we just got to be sanctified. Yeah, I know that. And it's hard. I'm going to tell you right now, we're in a battlefield. Lester Olof preached sang a song, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard to live a Christian life. I'm telling you. Sin is around all the time. And I've got a fallen nature. It's called the flesh. The Bible calls it the old man. It's called the Mr. Sin. It's enmity against God, Romans 8:7. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so I'm going to tell you right now, we've got a battle. Even if we don't have, Billy, even if I don't have outside sources, just my own flesh, just my own flesh being corrupt. And it's going to be corrupt till Jesus comes and gives me a new body. So I've got to resist and I've got to turn towards God. I got to put off the old man, what the Bible talks about, and put on the new man. Amen? That's why I'm going to get some of you mad at me. I was sitting with the kids eating supper yesterday. I'm going to get some of you real mad at me right now. I mean, I'm going to get you mad at me. I was gone for two services and now all the way, and the preacher's back and already he's getting me mad. You that get on these Facebook things and all that stuff, and I know there's preachers even on them. You'll never get me on a Facebook. You'll never get me in that junk. You get mad? Go ahead and get mad at me. I know it's real quiet. Oh, boy, I'm on holy ground because I'm a preacher. I'm using Facebook for the glory of God. There ain't no glory in God in that. Don't tell me you're using it. It's not the glory because there's so much evil going on that Facebook stuff. And by the way, then you got to take hours of reading it, what people are saying about you. And it's all caught. Listen, flee from. We're children of the light. We're children of the light. Come out from that darkness. The Bible says, love not the world nor the things of the world. We need to come out from that stuff. Hello? And this is the older crowd. Boy, what would I do if I preach to the young kids? Because you see what the trouble is? I can't get you older ones to believe me. That's the trouble. And then you don't teach your young kids. I was telling Rosie the other day, let me just let it all fly today. I got to let it fly. I'm feeling good. I'm getting feeling better because I'm going to preach again. I'm having preaching withdrawals. Carl, when you and I were kids, I never had a cell. Now, I know they didn't have cell phones when me and Carl were kids. We didn't have regular phones, Harley. If you did, it was a party line. Right. I mean, the telegraph was a big thing for us. But you parents and grandparents that buy your kids and grandkids cell phones, you're doing them an injustice. There's no reason why these kids need cell phones. Well, I need it for an emergency. Wow, Billy, how did you and I make it, Bill? Mac, how did we make it with Wes, how did we make it without a cell phone and a computer? I'll tell you how. If we had an emergency, probably we went to some adult and said, I got to call my mom. Hello? All this thing that they're doing now, and all these little text things, and all this Twitter and Twitter and all that other junk. That's all. I'm telling you that you better listen to me. You got kids. Don't you let your kids have that stuff. You say, oh, you're the evil man. No, I'm the man trying to save you from evil. I'm trying to save your kids from evil. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, my own family got kids. And I worry about for my own kids, because when you got cell phones, you got problems with kids. They don't need a cell phone. Your kids don't need a cell phone. I have a cell phone. And most of the time, I don't even think to turn it on. And what's even bad, Arlene, when I do turn it on, I don't take it with me. And if you call me, don't leave a message. Do it at the house, because it's got a machine there. But if you call me on my cell phone, don't leave a message. I don't know how to work it. You can call me on my cell phone, but if I don't answer, just say, well, I'll call the regular house, because even I've gotten now I got a new phone, but they got messages back from a year. They found things people call me from, you know, months back. I didn't even know they called. And I'll be in heaven before they retrieve those messages. What I'm trying to tell you is, I don't know nothing about those things. And can I be honest with you? I don't give a flip about them. The reason I got it, because if I want to get a hold of the sergeant and I'm not in my house, I can call him. Actually, to be honest with you, I got one just in case I want it. And to be honest, if the times I'd go out of town, I couldn't. That was where I can get home and call the kids and call Rosie and them. Other than that, if I'm not out of town, I'll talk to them when I'm here. You know what, folks? Look at all the money we spend on stuff that we don't even need that we could put into missions. People dying and going to hell, and we're just flittering our money away on evil. I know there's some practical uses, but we don't use the practical. We make it impractical. They got games on those things. They got internet. They got... Johnny was telling me... What was Johnny telling me? Something about they could do something. What would you tell me today, John, they could do on their telephones? Yeah, he was showing me a nice little Christian radio station that I could put on my computer. And he said, preacher, they can even put these on their telephones. He didn't call a telephone. I said, you're talking about a telephone? He said, yeah. What did you call them? Cell phone? Okay. It was another word besides that. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is this. All these things we're giving our kids, we're helping them get farther away from God. And you wonder, what's wrong with my kid? Most of it's because of us. We don't take a stand. We don't live separated lives our own self. Aren't you glad I came back? And then we don't teach our kids right, and we don't show our kids right. And it says, lead me not into temptation. We lead our kids right into temptation. There ain't no reason a kid should have a cell phone. There isn't. Unless you're going on a trip or something, but other than that, and of course we've got a definite rule at our school. If there ain't no, you're not allowed a cell phone. They might hide them in their purses, but Ruthie, they're not allowed to have a cell phone in the class, are they? I know they're not, because if preacher saw it, I'd be going, I'd have a fit. I'd be, my spit would be coming out. I'd be drooling at them. I'd be having a heart attack. I'd be grabbing, stomping their phone, and stomping them. I better get off that. Anyways, you know why? I'm proud of our school. We have a no-nonsense school. I wish I could whack the kids. Then we'd have a real good school. When I was a kid, they used to whack me. I was thinking, I hardly went through any year without getting whacked, ever. Even my senior year, they were still whacking me. I'm not lying to you. I was a problem kid. That's horrible. I was thinking about it. That's horrible. They were still whacking me in my senior year. Yeah. And, but you know what? I'll tell you right now, if you could whack kids, you wouldn't have the problem that you got now. Well, boy, it's already 8 o'clock, Mark. Man, I wanted to teach this. How'd you guys get me off on this? Man. Can I go 5 more minutes? Do we have choir going? No choir? Look at this. I got to quit. I'm just not where I wanted to be. It's going to take me 15 minutes to teach it, at least. God gave up their bodies, gave soul and their spirit. And look at your right paper there, and I'll just take another minute and I'll close. God shows mercy on the rational sinner. How many see that? By giving up the body first, and second the soul, and third the last thing he gives up, spirit, that shows God's mercy. And let me just give you this thought. Why is that, preacher? Because when God blesses a person, he blesses with the spirit, soul, and body. God showed mercy on this rational sinner. He gave up the spirit last, because you've got to have that spirit to get saved. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let me teach a couple more minutes here. I told you 8 and I lied to you. I haven't been able to teach this, and I really want to teach it. Someone needs to hear about those cell phones or something. I don't know. Made me feel good. And the very God of peace, how many got 1 Thessalonians 5:23? And the very God of peace, what's the order? Sanctify you wholly, I pray God, your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. How many see that? That's the reversed order. God gave up the body, soul, then the spirit when he gave on the rational sinner. But when he blesses him, he blesses the spirit, soul, and body, because you can't get saved without your spirit. Let me just write these verses down. I'll just quote. I was going to have you read. I'll just quote you scripture right now and I'll quit. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. You can't get saved unless you can reason. Come now, let us reason together. You got to be able to understand in your mind, hey, I'm a lost sinner. I need Christ. If you can't reason, you can't be saved. That's why when you go to these places, these people are real, they're far out. If they've lost reasoning power, they can't be saved. That's why, look, write this scripture down. 2 Peter 3:1 says, stir up your pure mind stir up your pure mind. You need to exercise your mind, your reason power. 2 Peter 3:1. Then write this one down. Hebrews 5:14. Strong meat belongeth to them who have exercised their senses. I'm going to tell you right now, when God gives up that spirit on that rational sinner, they can't be saved. How many of you ever heard this statement? They've passed God's deadline. Yeah. Arlene, I don't know when that is. Only God knows. But when God gives up the spirit, they're past God's deadline. Because without the spirit, you can't get saved. Look at Ephesians 2:1. Look at real quickly. I promise I'll quit in 2 minutes. I will quit at 5 after. I'm trying. Look at someone who give me, you got Ephesians 2:1, Mark? Give me about the first 3 or 4 verses there. 2:1, I think, is what I want.
Ephesians 2:1.
And he is quickened, who are dead in trespasses. Is that what it says there?
You have been quickened, yeah. Dead in trespasses and sin.
Yeah, he quickened us. What it means, he brings us alive. We were dead. He has to quicken. He quickens our spirit and saves our soul. But until go ahead, keep reading the whole thing again. 2:1 again, all the way down to the first 3 or 4.
And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind.
And of the mind! Yeah, go ahead.
And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Yeah, see, look up here now. I quit. You got to see this. That's why I need 2 hours a night to teach the script, because it takes me a while to get into it. But once I get into it, I don't like to quit. That's the bad part. See, Nobody comes to Christ without reasoning. The soldier on the cross, it's a soldier, that was a centurion that watched Christ suffer and die and heard all those statements, the seven statements from the cross, and saw the sun turn black for 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 o'clock. He cried to hear Jesus cry, "It is finished!" He said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." He reasoned. See, everyone has to make a meditated, determined decision that Christ is the Savior of the world. There's a scripture in John. I promise I'll close. I didn't have this plan. John chapter 20. I think it's verse 31, Mark. These are written. Someone give me John 20. You got Mark? John 20, 31? And I might be wrong. I didn't have this plan. There's a thought there. Once I hear it, I'll know what I'm wanting. Yeah, but these are written that you might believe. All these chapters about Jesus, about how he died on the cross, how he made the lame to walk, how he made the blind to see, how he fed the 5,000, how he made the water still. All those great miracles, water in the wine. All these miracles that you see Jesus do, raise the dead, raise life. All these things are written, these 20 chapters of 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. All these are written. Why don't you look at that last scripture tonight? Everyone look at that scripture. I'm going to close. John 20, 31. How many got that? John 20, 31. I promise I'll close. I'm already 7 minutes over. This is really good stuff, though. It is me. Go ahead and give it one more time, Mark. These are all written for one reason.
John 20, 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah, thank you. So, see, there, all those things are written, Ruthie, so I can read and I can think and I can reason. And I can make a meditated, determined decision. Yes, I am a lost sinner. Yes, I need Christ. And Arlene, if I can't reason in my mind, then I can't be saved. And what happens, these people go so far out of God. God gives up their body. They become, their bodies, they don't care how they look. They don't care how they smell. They don't care how they dress. Are you with me? Then they start doing real evil things, doing things that's not even natural. And then God finally says, "That's it, I give up their spirit." See, and when people lose the reasoning power, that means that the light is out. When they cannot no longer reason, they're in total darkness. And if you can't have light, you can't get saved. But see, as long as you can reason, that's why there's hope until someone dies. If they can reason. That's why you never give up. When you're witnessing people and they're dying, even if they can't hear you, you keep, because you don't know if they can hear. I never give up. I don't give up on anyone until they die. When they die, it's over. There's no hope then. Their fate's sealed for eternity. But the reason God blesses this rational sinner, he gives up the spirit last. And that spirit is what you got to have. The spirit is what the intellect, the reasoning. Your spirit is like the reasoning in your body here. Your intellect, if I can use that word. That's why it says, I told you 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Though our sins be like scarlet, they be white as snow. How many remember? And so we see God, in his mercy, gives the last judgment on this rational sinner. He gives up the spirit. Because, see, when he blesses the spirit. Then after he gets saved, the soul is saved. And then my body's changed. Amen? And so, see, God don't work on the outside. He works from the inside out. A lot of people think God works from the outside in, but he works from the inside out. And you can't get in the inside until he quickens that dead spirit. Okay, I'll stop. I hope I gave you something. Next time we'll come back, we'll start the reforms. We'll start chapter 2, the Reformed Center. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had. Thank you for these people. Lord, they're good. They're good listeners. I believe they really want to learn. Help me to teach well. Oh, God, help me to teach well that these folks can teach others also. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All righty. Let's bow our heads in prayer for just one moment. I wonder, right before we leave tonight, maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that? Anyone like that tonight? Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. See, you say, "Well, I've said no to God." But see, if God's speaking to you, that means he hasn't cut you off yet. If you still feel a little bit of that tug at your heart, God's still trying to deal with you. I know we have people from different countries and different places in our country that come to our website. And if you're here listening to this Romans teaching, maybe you could be in another state, all the way to California, all the way across 3,000 miles away from Ravenna, Ohio. But even where you're at right now, if you're listening to the internet, if God has spoken to your heart, no matter if you're in Alaska or Russia, Indonesia, it doesn't matter where you are, God loves you and he cares. And he's trying to reach out to you. And tonight, if you can hear God reaching out to you, if he's speaking to your heart, don't resist him. Don't suppress. Don't hold back that nudge from God. Say, "God, I want more. God, show me all the way to Christ." He will. Father, bless our people tonight. And I pray for all that might listen to these tapes. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.